and the open-air dentist grinned broadly. He pushed Ryan into a battered iron chair. As the man smiled through the forest of ginger hair, Ryan was alarmed to see that he was totally toothless. Not a jagged stump remained anywhere. Ryan beckoned Rick to him.
Tell him I want only one tooth out, and I'll point at it.
The Freezy stumbled through an explanation, which seemed to amuse both the dentist and the growing crowd of watchers. Ryan was becoming less and less comfortable at being the center of attraction, but Christy reassured him.
Folks are the same everywhere.
Huh?
Love watching pain. Give them a good show, lover. Don't disappoint them.
It was only as the Russian started to poke around in Ryan's mouth that the one-eyed man realized he was being treated by a mutie. As mutations went, it was comparatively slight and very common. Variations in the number and placing of digits on hands and feet. In extreme cases, you might see a mutie with 30 or 40 tiny feeble toes on each bare foot, like the stubby tentacles of a sea anemone. The Russian had only two digits on each hand. But to make up for it, they were huge. The thumb and index finger were like the claws of a massive lobster. The skin was immensely thick, like horn, and there were no nails. Ryan opened his mouth as wide as he could, leaning back, hands folded white-knuckled in his lap, and closed his eye. He swallowed hard and tried to steady his breathing, feeling an obscure and pointless wave of patriotism, which wasn't something that happened very often when a man lived in the Deathlands. But Ryan didn't want to behave badly in front of the mugging crowd of Russians. He didn't want to let himself and his country down by appearing to be a weakling, even though none of them knew he was one of the hated breed of Yanks. The man, whose breath stank of vinegar and stale cabbage, turned and said something to Rick.
He says he'll have to pull it out. Thinks he can see which one it is.
Ryan didn't much like the sound of the word thinks, but he nodded anyway. He also didn't care for the way the red-bearded man was looking curiously at Rick. Because he was so close to Ryan, the Freezy hadn't been able to prevent his hearing the quick burst of a foreign language. Rick said something to the dentist, which Ryan assumed was simply a go command. He opened his mouth wider and braced himself. The pincering thumb and finger closed on the afflicted tooth, making Ryan start at the shock of fresh pain. It happened very fast. The man's left hand pressed hard against Ryan's chest, keeping him still in the chair, and he felt an overwhelming sense of pressure. To his surprise, the first movement was one of pushing, then a squeezing, crushing feeling. There was comparatively little pain, but he heard a dreadful noise, as if part of his jaw were being forcibly sucked out through his ears. Ryan was aware of tendons creaking under the strain. Then blood gushed from the torn socket as the tooth was ripped free. The blood flooded into his throat, making him choke. He pushed the Russian away from him and sat up, gobbing a great spray of thick blood into the dirt of the street. Ryan noticed that the driver of a small goods wagon had stopped his vehicle, leaving the engine running as he climbed from the canvas-topped cab to join in the fun. The dentist, if such a description was appropriate for the claw-fingered butcher, held up the damaged tooth, showing the crimson root. Ryan stood up, holding his jaw in both hands, and moved it experimentally and cautiously. He grinned at the realization that the stabbing shocks of icy pain were gone. On an impulse, he reached out and shook the Russian's hand. The man beamed.
Dengi!
Ryan turned to look at Rick, whose face had gone paler than pale, and whose mouth was sagging open. Whatever Dengi meant, it didn't look like it was going to be the best of news.
Dengi!
The dentist wasn't smiling anymore. His eyes were narrowing. Rick licked his lips. Ryan noticed that the muscles of Rick's arms were twitching and jerking, and speech seemed hard to come by. He raised a quizzical eyebrow at Christy, who shrugged. The Russian opened his left palm and tapped it with the claws of his right.
He wants money. We never figured on it. He wants some bread for pulling the tooth, Ryan. What fucking steps do we take now, Ryan?
Long ones. Let's get out of here.
Against all regulations and orders of the transport department, the driver had left his wagon locked with the engine running. He has been subsequently arrested and will be charged with offenses under sections...
Major Commissar Grigory Zimyanin laid the typed report on his desk, looking up at Elisa Andreevna.
so many facts, and so few of them of any interest to me.
He skipped a few lines of coded letters and numbers. The fate of the wretched wag driver was of no concern to him.
It goes on. The three perpetrators broke away and escaped in the above-mentioned vehicle. One seemed ill and was helped by the tall woman with the red hair, hair that I must report was the reddest it has been my privilege to see. I conducted an investigation into the crowd and could not find anyone who would admit to ever having seen hair of such a bright hue. One man, whose details are appended below, said at first that it was not the reddest hair he had ever seen. Subsequent and diligent inquiries revealed he was colorblind and thought that spring grass was also red. Ah, by the hammer and the anvil.
The woman took a nervous step backward. There were so many rumors about Grigory Zimyanin and the barbaric easterly wilderness where he had made his reputation.
Never have I seen a man who will not use 10 words when he can make do with 100. But, despite all of... there is still much here. Again, on the southerly and westerly edge of our city. Again, three strangers. This time sounding like the three that the Kulak encountered. The same dark glasses. Described again and again in statement after red hair. And this man who has one eye, when most show a preference toward the pair.
It was an attempted joke, but Elisa Andreevna was too frightened of him to notice. For this was a new and different Major Commissar Zimyanin. There was a fire smoldering in the eyes. Twice already she had seen the way his face turned to the long sniper's rifle hung upon the office wall, as though he wanted to take it down and go rushing out after this mysterious trio.
And he is also missing a tooth. Who is he? Who is the woman? The sickly second man. They draw so much attention to themselves rather than pay the peasant a handful of copper. The witnesses mostly say they feared them. Why do they... There is something here, little one.
He got up and paced across to the map. His finger darted out and stabbed at the name of Peredelkino, hesitated, then moved again and hovered over Nicolino.
The market was here, yes. Pins, Elisa Andreevna, little flags. Let us plot our strangers and see where they have come from and where they are going.
Well, the clerk bustled out to her office. The sec officer stared blankly out the window at the spring day. But his thoughts were slipping back, however absurdly, to a hunt over a packed snow and ice. And some Yanks, one of whom... Elisa Andreevna picked up the phone. After a few words that he couldn't catch, she came back.
They found the truck!
Where?
Ramyenki, there!
She pointed to a mile or so farther in from the outer suburbs.
Ah, good, good. Very good. Now, the colored flags.
While she rummaged through her desk, Zimyanin gazed at the map, smiling to himself. His lips moved slowly.
Thank you for giving me that information. It was most useful. I shall offer you a gratuity for your help, if you do not find such a thing offensive.
His secret language practice.